This is the work session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Monday, July 23rd, 2018, at 5:30 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Williams, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein is excused. Councilmember Joan Hanson?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis is excused. Mayor David M. Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Dave Lindstrom? Absent. Robert E. Smith, City Manager. Lionel Williams, Deputy City Clerk. Carrie Bagley, Finance Director. Dwayne Wallace, Interim Operations Manager. City Attorney Britt Hanson.
Thank you, ma'am. We do have a quorum. And thank you all. We have one item. This is a study session. This is a discussion regarding an intergovernmental agreement, an IGA, with the City of Bisbee and Cochise County for planning, zoning, and subdivision development, design review board, and building inspection services. Mr. Smith.
Mayor, Council, thank you. I think it's pretty clear, given recent workloads, that one person working on code enforcement, permitting, and DRB, P&Z work is not sufficient. We've been talking with the county now for well over 6 months about working out an agreement to access additional professional skills, and the IGA before you is the result of those conversations. The county has acted and endorsed the agreement, and now it comes to the city for consideration. We've had an increase in building inspection services as well as code enforcement complaints. Coupled with the complexity in the design review board related to the historic district, we have a fairly significant workload that's impossible for Joe to fully service. This agreement gives us access to the county's building inspection personnel as well as code enforcement personnel, and it gives us access to the county's planners who provide material and information for DRB and P&Z. The agreement as structured would have us spending what we normally spend for Mr. Ward's employment, as well as what we normally budget for his support, his office expenses. So the lines that we have in the budget that's just been approved is sufficient to fund this IGA, and we would request that the council consider approving the IGA. I do have Dan Coxworth and Joe Ward here, as well as Paul, who's been doing the planning work for us. We have an existing IGA in place where we agree to help the county and they agree to help us when we need assistance in these areas, but this is far more detailed and sophisticated than that agreement. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that council might have, and I believe our professionals that are here would also be happy to participate in the discussion.
Council?
For starters, city's obligations for these services, the city agrees to pay the county a flat fee in the annual amount equal to the current city builder inspector salaries and EREs plus $2,500 per month. This would cost us his salary plus another $2,500 a month that would go to the county. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That would be the cost of the agreement. That is the amount that we currently have in the city budget for Joe and his work and his support at the office. And Joe would become a county employee rather than remain a City of Bisbee employee.
And if we cancel this agreement at some point, which I just briefly glancing and said that we could, then what would happen to Joe?
Would still remain a county employee, and we would be out looking for someone to fill the void.
We would be looking
to hire.
In addition.
Well, no, if we decided not to do this anymore, we wouldn't pay the county any more money. Joe would stay on the county payroll, and we would go looking for someone else.
So regardless of the contract, Joe would go to the county and become a county employee?
We did talk about that at length, and Joe was involved in those discussions. We don't have much room within our staff to allow Joe to grow and take on additional responsibilities, but the county may. And so in talking with Joe, his transition into a county employment situation was something that he liked.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
$30,000 a year is coming in from where?
It's coming from, in the budget there were personnel lines and then non-personnel lines. And those non-personnel lines contain the funds that we need for that. So we do have the full amount of the projected cost in the city's budget already that's been approved.
I was wanting to make sure that people understood that. It's the bottom line within the building inspector's budget at this particular point covers this $30,000 plus his salary and ERAs.
Yes, sir. This IGA would present no additional expense to us. We would not be asking for additional expense from the city. The budget covers it.
Okay, my question is, why are we looking at 6 months, because that's halfway through our budget year, rather than actual commitment for the full budget year?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't this indicate that there's that it goes until December?
Oh, I thought this was for a full FY.
It shall remain in effect for a term through December 31st, 2018. At such time, the council and board of supervisors shall each review this agreement to determine whether it is meeting the party's needs and suggesting amendments or amended terms, if any.
Mayor, I'd ask Dan if he might shed some light on that, since the county has already discussed the language.
Welcome. Thank you, sir.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor. Sir Mayor, members of the council. That was basically a circuit breaker because, and I feel more confident that we're going to extend this IGA well into the future, that both parties are going to be pretty happy with the services. You know, that we're, Bisbee will be happy with the services that we provide with the IGA if approved. That was the idea when the IGA was put together, just as a circuit breaker. But I anticipate that both parties will be happy and that the IGA will be continued into the next calendar year, FY19. I think there's additional language in there that might stipulate that, and then that it's reviewed annually.
Okay.
Also, if I may, I mean, it's always possible that if Bisbee's not happy, and I mean, Joe would always have the opportunity to come back to the city of Bisbee if you wanted him back and he wanted to come back too. I think he would probably have those options, or to stay with the county.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say when Mr. Higgins brought that up, was Joe, if there was a vacancy, he would have the opportunity to apply for that vacancy. And also,
we have another IGA in place for Paul's planning services and DRB services that is currently at an hourly rate of $75 an hour. So there is money that we're currently billing the city of Bisbee on top of the expenses that you already have. So the $2,500 is a fair amount that we're providing for the planning services, DRB services, and then it also including some of the code enforcement services.
And that amount that you're currently billing us would go away with that $2,500.
Correct. It's a flat rate fee, and we just were, I was just tracing down some invoices with the city of Bisbee, and it's just, it's a real pain. It's a real pain, actually, to do the the hourly rate. Sometimes we bring in other planners to help Paul, so including them, you know. But the flat rate fee is just a lot easier for everybody to budget, especially going into fiscal years.
Okay. Questions, Council?
Yes. I'm still doing my math here. I do have a number of questions and comments. I do, but the budget still confuses me. The statement here says that it's Mr. Ward's salary and his ERE, and certainly in that upper part of our budget on page 39, there's also $14,000 for a part-time person, which would be available now to in support of the $30,000.
Yes, sir. But if you look at the set of lines below it that relates to his expenses that we pay for him to operate, I think that's right around $28,000 to $30,000 there.
Well, that's just what I was. That's just what I was.
And that's what we were counting on to pay the $2,500 a month for the county services.
Yeah, I don't know that. Because certainly the budget we just approved did not include the arrangement that we had with previously with the county in terms of Mr. Esparza's assistance. That was somehow dropped from the budget, so that's not there to support this. And the $30,000 just doesn't seem to be there to me. I don't know.
One second. Carrie, Joe's department, is it the building inspector department or is it a different? It is the building inspector department. So we've got 87.9 in there for all of the HR related and ERE related stuff. And then what's that subtotal for lines 123 through 999?
I don't have my adding machine, that's what I'm asking too.
Yeah. It's the difference between 87.9 and 111.
23,000. Right.
So then we'd be short.
Unless you're using part of this part-time.
Well, correct.
Oh, I see. 14. So there's another 14, and that makes up the difference.
Okay.
And that's how I read it, but maybe.
Well, that's what I want to clarify. We would no longer be paying then the general fund internal services. Likewise, that would have to be absorbed from somewhere else. Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct. That would have to be dealt with elsewhere. Because that's money that we'd be using with the county.
Can I continue with
this? Yes,
okay.
I would offer, though, with Joe actually technically not being a city employee, we wouldn't be doing payroll, we wouldn't be doing HR, we wouldn't be doing those general fund things that defrays.
Well, we would continue to collect fees, would we not, in terms of billing permits and so forth? That would certainly come to us, and that would be channeled through finance?
Yeah, the revenue off of the activity would remain the city's revenue. We have had some discussions about just logistically how to handle that, whether county personnel would take those monies in, and then there would be reconciliation and a transfer to the city, or if those applicants would be directed to city personnel to make those payments. But yes, sir, those revenues would come to the city.
Certainly in this existing budget, we have budgeted $50,000 in building permit fees, $2,000 in fines, P&Z applications, $8,000, plan examination fee, $12,000, $72,000 we budgeted in terms of revenue coming into the planning department.
Yes, sir.
Have we also budgeted, I'm going to be going into a discussion about code enforcement, have we also budgeted for legal costs?
I don't believe within the building inspector's expense structure, no.
Correct.
Sir.
Can I continue, Mayor?
Yes.
I had a number of questions in terms of budget, but I did want, being the council liaison to the Planning and Zoning Commission, I just wanted to comment that Paul Esparza has been now for some time has been providing staff support to the Planning and Zoning Commission and also the Design Review Board, and he's been very, very effective in doing that, and that certainly that was demonstrated at the last City Council meeting in which he made a presentation to us, and so this has certainly been a real advantage to us. I also want to commend Joe Ward and his predecessor Bob Meskett in terms of the effectiveness that they've in terms of building inspector. Certainly, that's one of those jobs that is not always viewed favorably by everyone. And certainly what I hear from the building trade is very positive feedback in terms of Joe and his predecessor in terms of how they deal with contractors in the building trade. And it's interesting that my immediate neighbor who is engineer in the Phoenix area continues to tell me how lucky we are to have Joe Ward and previously Bob Meskett in terms of his extensive experience with the Phoenix area equivalents. Also, we have a very dedicated Planning and Zoning Commission and Design and Review Board, individuals who some have planning degrees and who have certifications in real estate and contractor's license and so forth, who take their job very, very seriously. So I want to acknowledge the good work that has been done and the need to move forward. I do, let me ask another question. You make reference to the county's permit management software system to record and monitor building permits, code enforcement, quote, to capture and report planning and zoning, building and code enforcement data. Could I have some clarification on what we're talking about here?
Sure. And for that, I would ask Dan to provide some detail. The county has a software system that we can't afford at the moment to purchase and use.
Correct. We have a permit tracking system. It's called New World, that we can easily create permits for the city of Bisbee. We currently have permits in there for the city of Tombstone. We do, for I think they're manufactured homes. So adding a permit type specifically for the city of Bisbee so we can keep track of the permits that are being issued, keep track of inspections, keep track of documents. I've already spoken with my staff, and it's not a big deal to create those permits in our current system. We are looking at replacing that system with a new permit mm-hmm. tracking system that will be a better public-facing module. And in those demonstrations that we've had from those companies, we are keeping in mind the possibility that we will be processing the permits for the city of Bisbee. And we'll also keep track of code enforcement actions as well.
Right. I'm going to move into more discussion of code enforcement, because that's my issue, my biggest issue. But how would the C-Clip Fix phone app program that we've adopted fit into this?
It's that app, I believe, if you pay them, will integrate with a permit tracking system. Now, whether they'll integrate with New World, I don't know. It's possible if we do get a new permit tracking system that includes code enforcement that it could integrate with it, but there will be a cost associated with that. But I think outside of that, discussions I've had with Mr. Smith is it's possible to see maybe use that app for some code enforcement actions.
Yep, the real value to us up front is the work ordering. So the back office function of C-Click Fixes, really what's valuable to us right now in terms of organizing our field action and then completing it and then closing the communication loop. But yes, I do believe that we can either interface with what the county is doing with their project management software, or we can offer seats to the county to participate in the C-Click Fix software. So our choices, we haven't put blinders on or filtered anything out yet. We've left all the choices still on the table to see what would work out best.
Okay. Well, certainly the comment was made that we're approving this through December 31st, 2018, which I think is good, and because we are kind of working some things out here, and I think that that is certainly something that I think can be a positive as we kind of learn from each other. And of course, this has already been approved by the County of Supervisors on June 26th, and so I'm pleased with that as well. I now would like to move on to a discussion of code enforcement. That certainly is the area that really troubles me. And I had the conversation with you initially here in the Planning and Zoning Commission. You know, here is my current file in terms of complaints that have been voiced to me. And some of these, a number of them go back 10 years and more in terms of I've got documentation in terms of complaints and correspondence and questions in terms of what are we doing. And certainly in working closely with Joe here, we've had, because his plate has been so full, we've had to kind of make choices in terms of how, with his limited amount of time, can we effectively have some impact in terms of code enforcement. We can't take on everything. But in the interim, we have, I think somebody has told me, whether it's Joe or someone else, that we have at least 100 deteriorated properties that dilapidated properties and not even getting into some other more minor code enforcements. And it's the thing that I get most calls on, and it's the thing that bothers me the most. Certainly, we promote Bisbee as a good place to live, to retire, to invest, and yet unkept derelict buildings seriously impact our real estate market here. And certainly there are constituents who complain, you know, there's no way I can sell my property. You know, there's no way that I'm locked in because of a neighbor situation. So investment in our community, frankly, is very much limited by our code enforcement violations. And I've shared that, of course, with you, and I had this continuing discussion here, but it certainly is very much a concern of mine. Certainly, we also have fire code violations that certainly threaten the lives of neighbors and adjoining properties, and also put our firemen at risk. They also open us to, you know, potential legal suits in terms of what indeed is our responsibility in terms of protecting property. And so my big rhetorical question is, what can we expect from the county with this IGA? And that is something we're going to be defining as we go along. But certainly, I would like to make some specific recommendations, and I would certainly like to start off with an inventory, developing a complete list of the dilapidated derelict buildings and other code enforcements with a map. We've never really done that in terms of getting a feel of what's out there. And then for each of those projects, to clarify ownership, the condition evaluation of property, in some manner, utility connections, liens, insurance coverage, taxes paid or unpaid, mailing address and contact information for the responsible person, fire inspections that have been conducted or not conducted. I would like to see us begin such an inventory and go back in terms of our historic files. Joe, did we lose paper communication in terms of with the fire, or what do we have in terms of code enforcement violation or complaints?
Everything that was in my office
is what?
Everything that wasn't on the server
is lost. Okay. Because certainly, you know, whether it's, I don't know that the click fix thing is a way to do that, but we need to I think, restore those files. And again, they go back literally. I mean, I just looked at one that I just received, and of course, there's documentation that goes back to 10 years ago is where you started off in terms of the first contact. And then, on with my recommendations, and then I would like, once we have that inventory, to develop a plan of action for each of those properties, and that would include the planning staff in consultation with the city manager and attorney, and I think the mayor and the ward council persons in terms of how do we move forward, and I think with our, frankly, we're still going to have limitations of resources. I mean, we're still going to have to make choices in terms of where we take action and what action we take. And a point that you made to the Planning and Zoning Commission, which I think was a very valid one as well, and that is, he says, well, what is the political will of the council? As we're moving into code enforcement, what is the political will of the council? And I think that certainly, my observation, at least in terms of county, that certainly the whole point of private property rights is much more of an issue than maybe it is here in this community, where we have, I think, more of a consensus in terms of what our wishes are here. But that's certainly one of the things that needs to be clarified in terms of, I think we've had some discussions already, and I think I know what the council's, I'm indicating to you at the other night that yes, the will of the council is here to move forward, but I think that, you know, that needs to be clarified as well. Then also, we made reference to that we need to establish a process or a mechanism to keep the neighbors, the persons filing complaints informed as to progress. And I think that's one of the real frustrations, is that people bring things to us and then 5 years later they're bringing it to us again because there hasn't been any communication. And often, I'm assuming that since I'm not being reported back to, that they aren't either. And so I think that we really have some opportunities there. Also, again, specific recommendations. Several years ago, we did have a work session on this, and there is a link in terms of the city's webpage called Citizen Advisory, how to report issues in terms of control of weeds, trash, et cetera, and I would like to see that revised and clarified in terms of citizens know how to enter into this process, and likewise what our commitment to them is in terms of once they voice a concern, then how do we report back to them?
May I interrupt you 1 second about that? You've brought up a couple things that I'd like to, at least because you brought them up, indicate that it's my firm opinion that a couple of things you've brought up have nothing to do with the building inspector, that they have historically, but erroneously, and that weed abatement, as an example, is a fire department issue, is not a building inspector issue, that fire code violations are fire department issues and not building inspector issues. And that Mr. Smith and I have discussed this, and we've discussed this with the chief also, that there needs to be a change in some of these historic things that have occurred, and that the these type of issues need to be placed, the authority and responsibility needs to be placed within the departments that it belongs. And so I was just bringing that up, Mayor Pro Tem, to indicate that there are a few things in the works. The derelict buildings, by the way, there is some of that data that's available that was compiled under when I first came into office that is available. Both the police department and the fire department made an inventory. And I believe that would still be available, and we can discuss that with them. So some of those things that you were asking about have in fact been done, but because of everything else going on,
right,
they haven't been acted on.
Well, certainly I've heard in terms of, I mean, people have quoted figures in terms of the number of derelict buildings and so forth, and of course we've had discussions in terms of fire inspector, and that was certainly one of the things we talked about in terms of budget, in terms of having for fee fire inspector, and certainly a number of these things are very much fire hazards. I mean, we have some areas of where homes are pretty close together, and certainly, well, all of these somewhat abandoned buildings are fire hazards to the neighboring property. So I appreciate that, and certainly that's part of the clarification in terms of what is the role then of fire inspections, as well as the code enforcement. And I think also there continues to, you know, we do have a neighborhood watch program, and I think there are certainly opportunities. My last recommendation in terms of interaction with communities, and that certainly is, I mean, with neighborhoods, and that certainly is can be a part of this as well. And again, I'm kind of dominating this meeting, but I feel very, very strongly about the issues that we have in terms of code enforcement, and I'm very excited about moving forward with the county in terms of addressing them. And certainly my discussion that I had the Planning and Zoning Commission, they have several staff people who are working in code enforcement, and I think we need to your office to continue to communicate in terms of moving forward there and communicating that with citizenry. Again, it is something that's a hot issue with citizens as well, and that's why it's a hot issue for me.
Mayor, Councilmember Dunn, I would offer, we haven't done a great job of getting information out there. Joe and I have been talking about derelict homes, and we do have a short list of 20 prioritized homes. We are working on one of them. We have a contractor coming in to handle the demo work. We think we might be able to get two done this year for the money that's been budgeted, but funds are limited, and so we're a little hampered by how much we can get done. And in some circumstances, the structure itself dictates how much it's going to cost, not just, so it's not a cookie cutter thing, but we do think we're going to get two done, hopefully three if we can figure out a way to stretch it. And you're right, the communication with the community is critical, and frustrations are running high.
And certainly there are solutions other than, in addition to, I should say, of condemning and taking the lien. I mean, certainly when the earlier work session we had, we talked a lot about, and Joe was very effective at this, in terms of friendly letter, we call it a friendly letter, and certainly Joe has had success with those. Certainly the action of the Planning and Zoning Commission of maybe it's been 2 months ago here now that was removed from the City Council agenda on our last meeting is an interesting case in terms of how the Planning and Zoning Commission has been able to work with a neighborhood and assisting a person who's wanting to renovate basically a derelict building. And certainly so there are some mechanisms in terms of how to various mechanisms in terms of how to support and assist that. Though, and again, this inventory, which needs to be more than a list, it needs to be something that kind of describes what each of those situations are and whether we're at a point where we need involvement of the attorney or whether this is something that we can handle in terms of code enforcement staff or fire inspectors.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I'm very pleased that we're moving forward on this. It is something that I feel very, my single biggest concern, and again, I've had not only 6 years as liaison to the Planning and Zoning Commission, but served on the Planning and Zoning Commission myself for 9 years prior, so it is certainly something that I've been observing and thinking about for some time, but I would like to start getting some response to these people.
Yes, sir. One other thing I forgot to mention, and Dan hasn't talked about it much, but the county is working on their GIS data and their mapping, and their site is getting quite polished and quite accessible, and we hope to be able to offer the people of Bisbee the ability, you know, if you have web access, you can get in and pull up the kind of data that you were talking about. We haven't gotten into nuts and bolts, but I imagine as we begin to work together on zoning applications and projects, that kind of information is going to be more important, and I'm hopeful that we can get that developed so that our maps and the county maps kind of match up.
Well, certainly it is going to continue to be council and staff driven. I mean, this is any time that we have a greater demand than what we have resources, then that involves then, I mean, it's even more important that we're all communicating and in terms of strategies and actions that we plan to take and follow through on. I mean, it's the uncertainty of it is what's the kind of most frustrating to me as a city councilman in dealing with constituents. Well, thank you, Mayor, for the amount of time that I've taken here.
Right.
It is something that is extremely important, and I'm looking forward to this new arrangement with the county, and I've been pleased with, again, again, Joe really needs an applause and thank for what he's done, and certainly the county is getting a very excellent resource as well as a shared resource. So.
Right, and on that note, I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that this provides a very valuable employee of the city of Bisbee to actually move up into something that we were unable to provide him. And so, you know, that's also kind of in the back of some of our minds that it provides an opportunity for advancement that is something we couldn't do. So with that, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming and answering the questions and for your assistance in the past and the assistance we're looking forward to in the future. Anything else? Mr. Hagan?
Do I say something?
Well, if you insist, Joan. Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Anything else? The way this is written, this will be brought up in December and will be reviewed. I assume that the county side of it will be able to know within this next 6-month period how those things are going, and that will provide a window upon which to budget for the following year. Okay, anything else, Ms. Hansen?
No.
Thank you for calling in. Mr. Higgins?
I still have some misgivings about this. We sign on to this agreement, we lose Joe. He's a county employee. He's not coming back. Joe's a very valuable person here in Bisbee. Not that somebody from the county wouldn't also do a good job. I'm sure they will. The city, really, we don't have the resources to do much. We're talking about two houses this year, and it's been thrown out there. There's probably 100 that need to be looked into, and I don't really see how even having these increased resources from the county is really going to help our situation here in Bisbee. How are we going to expand this and really deal with more of these properties? That's probably the biggest issue. All over town. I know across from me there's a number of dilapidated houses and have sat there for a long time, and due to Joe's diligence, the actual owner of one of those properties was finally contacted. They came here. They have been cleaning up the house for days and days and days. They had a big crew, 7 people over there cleaning out trash. And now they're gone. They've left the whole side of the mountain completely trashed. They haven't got back to it. I'm assuming that they will, and they haven't got back to it. Boots on the ground. Maybe the county can help us with that. They have, the personnel. But how is this actually going to translate into really making a difference? Nobody's really explained that to me. And I hate to keep us here, but could somebody just explain that to me, how the county taking over is going to facilitate doing something about these houses?
I'll give you my take on it.
Okay.
Is that we're losing Joe as a city employee, but not losing Joe in his job as to what he's doing now. He's just going to be paid by the county to do the same thing he's doing now. Plus, okay, in addition, we will be receiving additional county services, which will free Joe up from some of the things he's doing now, such as some of the meetings and these types of things, that other people in the county will be stepping up to help with those things, which allows Joe to concentrate more on the very things that you were discussing. Now that's my take on it. Is that an accurate take?
Yeah, I would say you nailed it. Boots on the ground. For the same money, we have Joe, and we have more help than that. And so rather than just it being one man trying to cover all these different bases, we wind up with a team of people who've been all trained in their specific positions working on those specific tasks. I hear what you're saying about you got 100 homes, how are you going to make a difference? You can't do but 2 a year. But the truth is, we have more than just the 100 homes. We have all that trash that's out there. Somebody has to write all that up. Somebody has to ride her through that. Sometimes all the way to court to be able to get it something done with it. the amount of time and effort and paperwork that it takes to deal with those things sucks all of the air out of Joe's office. So having a team that can attack those things will give us more of an impact out in the community. The homes, we need to budget money. We need to budget money to get the homes torn down, the ones that are condemnable that need to go. But it is boots on the ground. And I guess the last loop, hearing what Dan had to say, if we find ourselves in a position where we don't like this and we hit the eject button, we're going to be advertising for the position. And there's nothing keeping Joe from applying for the position. So if Joe wants to come back, he can. Just as Dan said, if he wanted to eject out of the county system.
And there's no benefit loss to Joe?
We're both both state.
Pardon me.
We're both state retirement systems.
State retirement.
Okay.
Also, just further comment that we keep talking about the two that we can take legal action on, but I think also with the resources from the county, and this is true with Joe previously, and that is we've been chipping away in terms of what Joe calls a friendly letter approach. In terms of how do we work with individuals in terms of making changes. And that's going to continue to happen, and the county has several people who now work in code enforcement, and certainly having their experience is going to help us. And certainly my specific recommendation of moving forward with an inventory and really getting a clear description of those properties out there and what are some approaches we can take and pursuing those will be very helpful in having us then set priorities. And in December, when we're relooking at this contract again, we're going to have a lot more knowledge in terms of what are the resources we need and what are some tweaking that we can do to make this more effective. So it's more than just taking legal action against two properties. It's a lot more than that. We certainly do have again, I also, it's hard to describe this without appearing to be critical of Joe in terms of what we've done, and he's been marvelous in terms of moving forward on code enforcement. The little bit of time that he's had and able to do that, he's made choices in terms of how can I be most effective with the limited time that I have, and that's going to continue to be the case as we deal with the county as well. But I'm looking forward to more resources and more commitment and hopefully that this council keeping everyone's feet to the fire, I guess.
Well, yeah, Joe can't be in his office meeting with somebody about a application and be out in the field taking care of something at the same time. And it appears to me that this provides us the ability for somebody to be walking in and to be filling out an application while Joe or somebody's in the field taking care of something at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm looking at this in a positive light, as to give it a try. Mr. Smith.
Not to put Joe on the spot, but Joe's right here. And Joe, would you feel comfortable speaking about whether or not you think you'd be able to see more done in Bisbee with some help through this agreement?
Sir, I'm certain that more things can get done. Like you said, somebody else is taking care of the permit applications. And, you don't need somebody that, you don't need to pay me my wages to fill out paperwork like that, and that's not a specialty, But with the VAD houses, as Mr. Marsh used to call them, and that's what I'm stuck on, the vacant, abandoned, dilapidated. We've made some real progress. We're getting some information to Mr. Smith for you guys, but there's been just by prodding and cajoling these people. Doug, we have made some real substantial progress, right. And I think you're going to be very happy when you see it. And the two that we do this year, You beat the heck out of what we did last year. Nothing.
For the last 10 years.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Does anybody want to ask Joe any questions while he's there? No?
Just
hold on one second.
I don't know if this is a question for Joe or who exactly, but Joe has done a marvelous job as far as I'm concerned. And the question really is, would your focus, even though you'd be working for the county, your primary focus would still be Bisbee? Is that understood with the county? Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Anything else you want?
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay.
Joan?
No.
Okay.
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second that. We have a motion. We have a second to adjourn. All those in favor, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned. Thank you. Thank you very much.